As we begin our exploration into gratitude, commence with a well-known story, the gratitude shown by the wise men, baby Jesus. Reading today from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down, paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
The order of things is completely turned around as we see the undoing of benefactors' status and entitlement. We see the unbridled joy and emotion of God's people receiving this priceless divine gift of grace. This was the original form of gratitude. And it's something that I would suggest that must be truly reclaimed in our faithful living. An awe-filled experience as God's grace is received. So what's happened to us? Why has gratitude been relegated to just a pleasant social nicety that we try and instill in our children, rather than an overwhelming feeling of awe and wonder that we all hold? Why are we not profoundly grateful? What blocks us spiritually from truly experiencing this emotional part of our faith? It was an interesting analysis that comes from a psychologist, Robert Roberts. The book is called The Psychology of Gratitude. And he notes that our negative emotions cause us to be alienated from ourselves and in turn blocks our gratitude. He names some of the negative emotions to be fear, envy, greed, entitlement, resentment, and regret. These all, he argues, cause a distorted worldview. Interestingly enough, Dr. Roberts notes that long before psychologists were making these observations, Scripture had been warning about the damage of them in the form of the seven deadly sins. Probably heard them as I read that first list. Seven deadly sins, of course, lust and gluttony, greed and sloth, wrath and envy and pride. These deadly sins run counter to living a life of thanksgiving. They run counter to living a life of gratitude. And they serve to take us to a place where we cannot appreciate the blessings, as many as they are in our lives. I think gratitude as a part of our faith, requires more of us than just a change of attitude. It's a part of our faith perspective. It becomes, just like the wise men, who we are. Drawn to a star, following a journey, and opening up our hearts and giving all the gifts we have. In his wonderful book, The Spiritual Work of Gratitude, Catholic writer Henry Nouwen wrote about the spiritual work of gratitude in our lives, and he wrote these powerful words. To be grateful for the good things that happen in our lives is easy, but to be grateful for all our lives, the good as well as the bad, the moments of joy as well as the moments of sorrow, the successes as well as the failures, the rewards as well as the rejections, that requires hard spiritual work. And I think it's moving away from things like the seven deadly sins that allow us to move towards a further movement into the deep spiritual gratitude we might have embedded in our faith. As the Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to Thessalonica, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. It's interesting when you think of another faith tradition, Buddhism has an interesting perspective on suffering, noting how it simply exists. Suffering exists, and it's in fact intensified by our human refusal to acknowledge the realities of our pain. Gratitude. Gratitude is blocked when we resist. Gratitude is blocked when we deny and allow our negative emotions to overcome us. There's an interesting interview that Oprah had with Holocaust survivor and novelist Elie Wiesel. I know some of you have read some of his books. He's amazing. She was asking, despite all the tragedy you've witnessed going through the Holocaust, living in a concentration camp, do you still have a place inside you for gratefulness? Having seen the worst of humanity, does it make you more grateful for ordinary occurrences? Wiesel's response was so powerful. For me, every hour is grace. And I feel gratitude in my heart each time I meet someone and look at his or her smile. When a person doesn't have gratitude, something is missing in their very humanity. And so as we take our first step, reclaiming, recovering this part of our spirituality, recovering this part of our humanity, recovering this part of our faith, perhaps you might consider how we might be freed, liberated to reclaim the gratitude that our souls yearn to have. You won't be surprised by what comes next. I'm going to invite us all to begin, if we don't do this already, to become increasingly aware of our gratitude as we walk towards Thanksgiving weekend. I'm going to invite us all to adopt a gratitude practice over the next 4 weeks. And see how it will powerfully transform our faith and our life. So if you are a person who journals, writes in a journal, take a moment in your journaling and journal the gratitude each time you journal. If you gather in your prayer time, take a moment and lift up God in prayer, offering gratitude at that prayer time. So I said with the children, we're saying grace at the table. Perhaps you might take an opportunity to lift up each person's gratitude around the table before you enjoy your meal. There's so many ways to have a gratitude practice, and I know that some will kind of find a natural connection with one of those practices. As we uncover over the coming weeks, gratitude is a deep part of our heritage. And reclaiming this part of our spirituality is long overdue in the world. A lot more to it than just saying thank you. But we say thank you and appreciate the deeply challenging times and be thankful in those. Walking through this will take us time and take patience and take faith. But to leave with Elie Wiesel's wise words, when a person doesn't have gratitude, something is missing in their very humanity. May we walk with the wise men and the wise women, be wise people. Gratitude. Amen.